Unit 1. Foreign Neighbors.
Curiosity and the Foreign Neighbor. There was an old woman who would repeatedly ask me how tall I was and what did my family eat for breakfast. She was a farmer and neighbor in the mountain village where we lived for 7 years. These two questions seemed of particular interest to her. At least, she never tired of asking them. And I answered her each time as though it were the first time. Apparently, she could not reconcile my looks and eating habits with some other facts. These facts were that year after year, she'd seen me carry my children on my back as she had her children and then grandchildren. That we planted and pickled at the same time of year. That in summer, we both donned our cotton kimono to dance in the Bone Festival. That we'd sat side by side at the recitals at the kindergarten and stood side by side at the funeral of neighbors. In any case, I continued to answer her questions about my height and diet, and with the respect her age demanded. Eventually, she stopped asking. I suppose she came to realize that 170 centimeters wasn't all that tall, and the fact that I enjoyed miso soup more for the evening meal than for breakfast didn't make that much difference, as far as she could see. I came to realize that it was very probable that I was the tallest person she'd ever met, and that in her world, miso soup, rice, and pickles were the only possible breakfast. I realized, too, that the simple people I lived among were no more accustomed to seeing someone who looked like me than I was to seeing tigers roaming. I learned to announce my coming with a cough or an audible footstep when I walked on back roads and the narrow paths that cut across tea fields. It seemed unfair to appear all of a sudden in front of some old farmer tending his fields and minding his business. I seriously considered that I might be the unwitting cause of a heart attack. The first time I met the old woman, I'd gone to her home to return a shovel I'd borrowed from her son the day before. Expressing my gratitude and uttering the ordinary politenesses, I left. Much later, she confided that she'd seen me coming and had actually wanted to hide, simply because she didn't know what she would or could say to me. After our brief and uneventful encounter, she said she'd felt relieved and thought to herself that she must be just an ignorant old country woman. However, the ignorance of my old neighbor, a farmer who knew only farmers, was hardly greater than that of supposedly more educated and sophisticated folk who would continually ask the usual questions. Can you sleep on a futon, use chopsticks, eat sushi, drink green tea? I didn't mind the questions, really, but it was the can part that got me, since these things simply comprise ordinary behavior in this country. And then, too, after all, there we were, living in an old farmhouse in the middle of one of the country's prime tea-growing regions, generally abiding by, naturally, traditions these same people had only heard about from their grandparents. It would not have occurred to me to question if they could drink coffee and eat a steak with a knife and fork, or to exclaim in wonder that they sat on chairs and slept in beds, though these characteristic Western ways were not my own. I could not have remembered the last time I'd eaten a steak. I did not drink coffee. And in that old farmhouse, there were neither chairs nor beds. But how could they know? People see me and my dark skin, my husband's distinctly non-Japanese features, our children's curly hair, and make all the wrong assumptions.